Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 92.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Galliard. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Galliard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we could have a moment of silence for anyone that may pray differently than I do. God, we thank you that you are a prayer-answering God and a covenant-keeping God. We thank you, God, that it's in you that we live and we move and we have our being. Thank you for the new day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the gift of leadership. Pray, God, that you would help us to be good stewards of the positions that you've given us. God, in this chamber today, there are lots of us with titles: representative, chair, speaker. But I pray, God, that we would recognize that you alone have the greatest title of all, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I pray as we vote today, as we deliberate today, that we will be mindful, God, that all of it is recorded in glory, and that we'll have to give an account for everything that we do, think, and say in this body. Pray now, God, that you will bless our support staff, the men and women that keep the doors and help write the legislation, keep this building running. I pray for our families while we're away from them, that you might keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. And then I pray, God, for anyone who may be sick or may be struggling in this chamber, I pray for healing and deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 9th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for July 9th to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 210, enact amending the revised uniform anatomical gift for includes tissue donation as part of the driver's license donor authorization. Senate Bill 297, enact to direct North Carolina Policy Collaboratory for the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill to assemble and research advisory panel to study development recommendations, strategies, or implementation of a research program to determine whether the clusters of cancer incidents exist within the state. Senate Bill 316, enact to direct certain municipalities to report to the General Assembly the local government funding, subsidies, and activities related to affordable housing. Senate Bill 444, enact allowing food establishment to repurpose oyster shells as serving dishes. House Bill 411, enact to combine the career college readiness indicators to use school performance grades and for further purpose to compliance with the federal law of grades 9 through 12 and to require the State Board of Education to include additional career and college readiness information on annual report cards and to allow certain lottery winners to remain anonymous for 90 days. House Bill 590, an act to amend various administrative procedure laws. House Bill 668, an act to make various changes to higher education laws. House Bill 757, an act to convey certain state-owned lands to Pender County to be used for new jail and law enforcement center and to convey certain state-owned lands to the town of Butner. And the following bills duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 98, an act to regulate hunting with artificial light in Brunswick, Macon, and Clay counties. House Bill 134, an act to provide that the vacancies on the Onslow County Board of Commissioners are filled in accordance with GS 153A-27.1 and to change the manner of elections in Stokes County and the Board of Education from nonpartisan to partisan and make the terms of all members 4 years. House Bill 170, an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the city of Ashbury and the towns of Bunn, Franklin, and Youngsville. House Bill 187, an act to amend the charter of the town of Elon to authorize the town to adopt and enforce ordinance related to parking. House Bill 285, an act removing certain restrictions on satellite annexation for the city of Sanford and the town of Beaufort.
Chapter bills will be noted. The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 5, I move the House proceed with business notwithstanding the order of business of the day.
The gentleman's moved that pursuant to Rule 5, that the House proceed with business notwithstanding the order of the day. The gentleman's recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to be clear to the members, this will take care of any questions that may arise, that the Speaker will proceed down the calendar in order that he or she sees fit. Would appreciate your green vote.
Representative Jackson, gentleman's recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to belabor the point from yesterday. I think the printed calendar is printed this way in accord with our rules for a reason. Seems to me it's just pretty much common decency to let people know what's coming up next and they have an opportunity. I have no problem with doing veto overrides first or last or in the order they come, if that's what the Speaker so chooses. But allowing people to move around and move, just bring things up spring at a spur of the moment, just seems unfair to me, and I'd ask you to vote red.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, the adoption of the motion. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Representative Corbin, would the gentleman like to vote on the motion? Clerk, lot machine, record the vote. 65, having voted in the affirmative, 53 in the negative. The motion is adopted. House Bill 239, the clerk will read.
Representative Candy Smith and Humphreys, House Bill 239, a bill to be entitled an act relating to release of animal service records in Pitt County.
Clerk will read the amendment as well, please.
Senator Daniel moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 3, by rewriting the line to read. General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
Need a motion for concurrence from either Representative Humphrey or Representative Smith. Lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, recognized for motion.
Okay. I move that we concur with HB 239. Thank you.
Ladies, move that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 239. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Clerk, light machine, record the vote. 118, having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. The House does concur with Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill 239. The bill is ordered enrolled. House Bill 324, the clerk will read.
Representative Hastings, House Bill 234, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to local hunting acts for Caldwell, Cleveland, Cumberland, and Yancey counties, Johnson, North Carolina, and acts.
Representative Montgomery's gentleman wish to be recorded as having voted aye on that previous bill.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen will be recorded as having voted aye, unless the lady from Pitt wants to object. Gentlemen will be recorded as having voted aye. Gentlemen from Gaston, Representative Hastings, recognized for a motion.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move that we do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 324. Thank you.
The gentleman from Gaston has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 324. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask Representative Hastings a question, please.
The gentleman from Gaston, yield to the gentleman from Cumberland.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
I think I understood that there's been a change in Cumberland County. Can you tell me what that change would be?
Sir, I can't tell you what the change to Cumberland County would be because the 2 days that it was, the last 2 days it was heard in the Senate, I was not here. So I'm assuming someone from Cumberland County made that request.
Mr. Speaker.
Would you call Representative Jim Rice?
Is it possible we could delay third reading?
Why don't we temporarily, what I can tell the gentleman, this was a bill actually for Cleveland County, Representative Lucas. We can displace it and we'll find out what, how your county got added to a Cleveland County bill. We'll find out what that was and get an answer for the gentleman. So we'll displace it and get an answer for the gentleman. House Bill 107, the clerk will read.
Representatives Horn, Farmer Butterfield, and Lucas, House Bill 107, the bill to be entitled and acted with changes to the Education Preparation Program, Performance Standards, and the Data Reporting System, General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House do now concur with the proposed committee substitute from the Senate on House Bill 107.
The gentleman has moved the House concur with Senate committee substitute to House Bill 107, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 107 came out of program evaluation oversight to deal with our education preparation program changes, made several recommendations that passed out of this House. All the Senate did was clarify one of those recommendations with regard to any action that could be taken for ed preparation programs that have students that might decide to move to another state or decide after they've gone through ed prep that they don't really want to be a teacher after all. But other than that, this is an excellent revision, and I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 107. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 107. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, on motion of the members from Union County, Representatives Horn, Arp, and Brody, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Nancy Anderson, who is the former mayor of Weddington and is also a retired Air Force nurse. Would you please stand so we could welcome you with us today? Over here to the left. Thank you for being with us, ma'am. House Bill 206, clerk will read.
Representative Torbert, House Bill 206, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to laws related to transportation, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbert, recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House do not concur with House Bill 206.
The gentleman has moved the House do not concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 206. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion not to concur. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Richardson on the floor. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. The House has voted not to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 206. The Senate will be notified. Additionally, the chair appoints the following conferees: Representative Torbett, chair, members Representatives Eiler, Shepherd, and Presnell. Senate will be so notified. For what purpose, the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer Rice?
To request that the bill be removed from today's calendar.
And is that the next bill, sir?
House Bill 220, yes, sir. If you could refer it to the, remove it from today's calendar and put it on the calendar for Wednesday, July 17th.
The chair directs that House Bill 220 be removed from today's calendar and calendar for next Wednesday.
No,
Chair has received a request that Senate Bill 212, which is on today's calendar, the bill sponsor be removed from the calendar. So the chair is going to remove it from today's calendar. We'll put it, just say, calendar 36B to be noticed at a later date. For what purpose the gentleman from Davis and Representative Jarvis rise?
To be recorded as a aye on House Bill 206.
On the motion not to concur?
That's
correct. Gentleman be recorded as an aye on that motion. Representative Clemens, is that the same request from the lady? Both those members will be recorded as an aye on the motion not to concur. House Bill 268, Corker Reed.
Representatives Brody and Ray. House Bill 268, a bill to be entitled to amend on-site wastewater laws. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we concur with the Senate changes.
The gentleman has moved the House concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 268. The gentleman would like to debate the motion. For our purpose, I guess Representative Jackson is going to ask the gentleman a question, so why don't we cut to the chase? Gentlemen, why doesn't the gentleman just debate the motion, explain the bill?
All right, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate made two changes. They're both clarifying. One of them came from the Department of Public Health to make sure that in this whole process of rule change that we don't end up without any rules at any time. And the second is to clarify some members of the task force. An example is we're asking for somebody with experience as a soil scientist, but we went a little deeper and said a soil scientist with wastewater system experience. Those are the two changes.
Thank you. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, adoption of the motion to concur of the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 268. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 268. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 325, the clerk will read.
Representatives Dobson, White, Barnes, and Black, House Bill 325, a bill to be entitled Opioid Epidemic Response Act, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 325.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill continues our work that we began with the STOP Act, followed up with the HOPE Act, in dealing with opioid abuse and treatment options here in North Carolina. The bill primarily deals with a single drug, and I'm going to try to pronounce it. It's called buprenorphine. I'll defer to Dr. Murphy for the correct pronunciation. But it's my understanding that North Carolina is the only state that requires registration of this drug, however one pronounces it, because the federal government already requires physicians and other practitioners to register. So it's a duplication. This bill will make access to opioid treatments more accessible and safer. I ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
To see if the gentleman, the sponsor, would answer a question and then to comment on the bill.
Gentleman from Union, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Why are we now allowing tax dollars to be used to provide needles and syringes? You're lining that out on part three.
If I may, that issue of providing syringes was addressed by this legislature, I think, 4 years ago, and we have continued to do that in the hopes of, for the process of avoiding the additional problems that come with dirty syringes. Now, certainly one can make a case that where supporting drug abuse. Well, drug abuse is there, whether we like it or not, and it's not a matter of supporting, it's a matter of controlling it. We need to know where it's happening, and if it's going to happen, which it is, then let's be as safe as we can, reduce the impact on our emergency rooms and our emergency service personnel.
Speaker on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
That issue was addressed a couple of years ago. Here's the problem I have. This bill was passed. House Bill 325 was passed 118 to nothing, except that it was a totally different bill. It had to do with Health and Human Services, something or other. So now what we have is a bill here that we cannot amend to make any corrections. The last part of Part 3, they're lining out where it said no state funds may be used to purchase needles, hypodermic syringes, or other injection supplies. This was debated a couple of sessions ago when we decided that we were going to allow clean, new, fresh needles to be provided to the drug users so that we could prevent the spread of AIDS and some of the other problems that they have with it. But the stipulation that we made was that no tax dollars be used, that the private dollars be used for this. And, of course, they said, well, that's no problem. We could do that. And I believe it was me that made an amendment, if I remember correctly. But bottom line is an amendment was made, and we put in there no tax dollars will be used. It said no state funds may be used to purchase needles, hypodermic needles. But I did tell everybody, I said, now, the way it works, I says, trust me, within a couple of years, because I was opposed to it, but I said, within a couple of years, I said, somebody's going to come back and want to, because we cracked the door by allowing the needles to be given away, that now they're going to want to do it at tax expense. And here we are, just as I predicted. I feel like a fortune teller, because this isn't the first time this has happened. This is not something the taxpayer should be paying for. If this is a good idea, then private folks, private dollars should be used for this. And that was the way it was supposed to be going for the last few years. And so, because I can't put an amendment in, because this isn't the bill that we passed through here, this has been morphed into something else, all we can do is vote it up or down. So I'm going to ask you to vote this down, and if they want to pass this bill, which may be a very good bill, then let's not make this change where we start using tax money to give needles to drug users. Please vote against this. Please vote not to concur.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 325. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Ager, do you like to vote on this? Clerk, light machine, record the vote. 92 having voted in the affirmative and 25 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 325. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Members are going to go back up to House Bill 324. As the local bill, the chair has been informed by that the Cumberland County delegation is all now in agreement with the Cleveland and the Gaston delegation on this local bill. Everybody's ready to go hunting, apparently. So, for what purpose now does the Guilford County member, Representative Harrison, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had a question for the bill sponsor.
The gentleman from Gaston yield to the lady from Guilford.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
I am just in reading the bill, I'm trying to determine if sort of page one, lines 34, 35, the next page, lines 1 and 2. So talking about notwithstanding any other provision of law, there is an open season for taking foxes with weapons and for foxes and coyotes by trapping during the trapping season set by the Wildlife Resources Commission each year. Is this new or is this the existing statute? Do you know?
Well, Mr. Speaker, that That provision was already existing. I mean, it's not underlined or stricken out, so.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 324. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and 4 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 324, and the bill is ordered and rolled. House Bill 362, the clerk will read.
Representatives Horn, Harris, Elmore, and Autry, House Bill 362, a bill to be entitled a 15-point scale for school performance grades. General Assembly, North Carolina, enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House do now concur with Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 362.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 362, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll remember this bill when it left the House. It dealt with the 15-point scale that's used in grading schools, the school grades A, B, C, D. That when that bill was originally introduced, when we put that process into place, it called for a 10-point scale. However, it had 15-point scale for the first couple of years. First couple of years came and went. We extended it for another year, then we extended it for another year. It's now been about 6 years that we've been using the grading scale, A, B, C, D, based on a 15-point swing, not a 10-point swing. The 10-point swing was never implemented. We're finally getting around to just saying, look, it's 15 points, period, end of story. And this codifies that. Second thing this does is it directs the state of or the State Board of Education to work with the superintendent and take a look at the 80-20, what is presently the 80-20 split on performance versus growth, something this House has dealt with time and again over the last several years. So now we're going to turn to the State Board and allow them, in cooperation with the superintendent, to deal with that issue and perhaps make some adjustments on the 80-20 swing for the determination. But the most complicated part of the bill is Section 2. It's complicated only because it's confusing. And fundamentally, this confusion resulted from a Supreme Court decision that the State Board could be required by the General Assembly to comply with rulemaking process. So we worked with staff, came up with a reasonable way to allow the State Board and the superintendent to comply with the rulemaking process. It's fairly technical. I'm not going to get into it unless you ask me to. But in summary, this section gives the State Board an extension to complete the rulemaking process as required by law. I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the motion to concur to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 362. Those choosing to concur will vote aye. Those who oppose concurrence will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative. The motion to concur is adopted. The bill will be enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 449, the clerk will read.
Representatives Eiler and Torbett, House Bill 449, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the Division of Motor Vehicles to produce a Keeping the Lights On special registration plate and a POW-MIA Bring Them Home special registration plate. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Eiler, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I want to move to not concur at this time with this
gentleman
bill.
Gentleman is recognized to speak on the motion to not concur.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The bill left here with several plates that we thought were pretty good, and the Senate took them out. We want to go to conference and see if we can get those some of those back in. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the motion not to concur to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 449. Those in favor of not concurring will vote aye. Those who wish to concur will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 114 having voted in favor of not concurrence and one in the negative. The House does not concur. The Senate will be notified. And the House will appoint the following conferees to the Conference Committee on House Bill 449. Representative Eiler, Chair. Representative Torbett, Davis, Shepherd, and Presnell. House Bill 546. Clerk will read.
Representatives Faircloth, Reno, Turner, Cleveland, and McNeil, House Bill 546, a bill to be entitled an act to prohibit the import, manufacture, sale, offer of sale, installation, or reinstallation of counterfeit or non-functional airbags. Jones from the North Carolina Act.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 546.
Does the gentleman wish to speak further on the bill? On the motion.
I appreciate your vote.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the motion to concur to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 546. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative McNeil, do you wish to record? Representative Gill. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 115 having voted the affirmative, none in the negative. The motion to concur to the Senate committee substitute for 546 is adopted, and the Senate will be enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 620, the clerk will read.
Representative Zoka, Baumgartner, Hawkins, and Eiler. House Bill 620, a bill to be entitled a Street Database Manual, Public Record Exemptions, General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
The gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 620 and wish to debate the motion.
You have the floor to debate the amendment.
Yeah, this is a very unusual thing that the Senate did. This bill is exactly the same as when it went over there. And the only reason we have to vote on it is because they put some stuff in, they took it out in the Senate and on the floor, and we have to vote it again, which I checked with staff. I'm not sure this has ever happened. So it passed 117-0 the first time. Hopefully we'll get the same vote. Thanks.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the motion to concur to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 620. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The motion to concur to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 620 is adopted, will be enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 922, the clerk will read.
Representatives Destin Hall, Lewis, and Arp, House Bill 922, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce the impact of taxpayers of natural disasters and other insurable risks of enhancing state insurance coverage for public school buildings and community colleges. General Assembly, North Carolina.
Madam Speaker, will you displace that bill momentarily?
Thank you. The bill will be displaced. House Bill 337, clerk will read.
Representatives Torbett and Lewis, House Bill 337, a bill to be entitled an act to amend laws governing the transfer of salvage vehicles by removing notary requirements, permitting electronic signatures, and allowing access to division motor vehicle systems for salvage vehicle title processing.
Senator Clerk will read the amendment.
Yeah. Senator Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 49, to delete the word. General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized for a motion.
The motion is to concur, Madam Speaker.
The gentleman wishes to speak on the motion. Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the representative from Wake, Representative Jackson, is recognized.
For a question of Representative Torbett, please.
Representative Torbett, do you yield?
Absolutely.
Tell us what change was made in the Senate, please.
I'd be happy to. The only change in the Senate was a modification was a technical change, period. I mean, there was no language shift or anything.
Seeing no further discussion, debate, the motion for the House is to concur with the Senate Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 337. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Floyd, Representative Graham. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. The motion to concur to Senate Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 337 passes and will be engrossed. Ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 606, the clerk will read.
Senators Rabin, Tate Davis, and McInnes, House Bill 606, a bill to be entitled Act to prioritize the use of native North Carolina trees, shrubs, vines, grasses, lagoons, and highway right-of-way. General Assembly, North Carolina, enact.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Mecklenburg, Representative Harris, seek recognition? Representative Harris. Gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Aller, is recognized for motion.
I'd like to debate the bill.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill came over from Senator Rabin, Davis, and McGinnis. They are wanting the DOT to prioritize native North Carolina plants on highway rights-of-way. There's over 3,000 plants they have to choose from. I've talked to DOT yesterday. And DOT has no problem with this. The prioritized plants, and it matches with the environment where the bugs and animals, insects and animals and so forth, prefer the native plants. However, they're also just as beautiful as any other plants. So I recommend that we do vote green on the Senate bill.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 606 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 606 passes its third reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is passed to Senate Bill 606 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 606 passes its third reading and will be returned to the Senate. It will be enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 606. Senate Bill 194. Clerk will read.
Senator Ballard, Senate Bill 194, bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the town of West Jefferson and the city of Saluda. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purposes, gentlemen from Otago, Representative Russell, rise.
We voted on this yesterday, had a strong vote. It simply gives the right to these cities to have satellite annexation greater than 10% of their base area. Thank you. Appreciate your vote.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is passed of Senate Bill 194 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, 5 in the negative. Senate Bill 194 passes its third reading and will be returned to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 112, the clerk will read.
Representative Ray, House Bill 112, a bill to be entitled an act authorizing the City of Roanoke Rapids to levy a municipal 1% sales tax and use tax. General Assembly, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Northampton, Representative Ray, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, House bill would authorize the City of Roanoke Rapids to levy a 1% local sales tax for the purpose of repaying debt incurred to finance the Roanoke Rapids Theater, formerly known as the Randy Pardon Theater. The tax would expire the earlier of when the debt is repaid or 15 years after the levy. And I have a request from the town of the City of Roanoke Rapids and also the county commissioners, and I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is passed of House Bill 112 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, wish to vote? Clerk will lock and record the vote. 98 having voted in the affirmative, 17 in the negative. House Bill 112 passes its second reading and will remain on the calendar. Senate Bill 523, clerk will read.
Senator Tillman, Heiss, and Newton, Senate Bill 523, a bill to be entitled an act to make various clarifying and administrative changes to the revenue laws. General Assembly, North Carolina, and Act.
The lady from Davie, Representative Howard, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We had a really good vote on this yesterday. If there's any other questions, I'll stand to answer them. Otherwise, please vote the same as yesterday.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, question for the House is passage of Senate Bill 523 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative White on the floor. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 523 passes its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 575, clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Lambert, Dobson, and White, House Bill 575, a bill to be entitled an act establishing the licensure process of annual license fees for birth centers. General Assembly of North Carolina and Acts.
Gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Speaker, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we have to react to tragedies that occur in our world, and that's what the genesis of this particular bill is, the Birth Center Licensure Act. If anybody can recall, over 2 years ago, we had four deaths at Baby Co. in Cary. And it was because of some issues with birth centers at that time. So what you have before you is a consensus bill that was developed through a collaborative process between the North Carolina affiliate of the American College of Nurse and Midwives and the North Carolina OBGYN Society. Sometimes there are a little bit of odds as to issues, but they came together to really put forth something that's going to be good for the state of North Carolina. And what we're going to do now is establish licensure for birth centers. And They will be based upon, rules will be based upon accreditation, for the commission, accreditation of birth centers, so that each birth center will therefore have a license under the Department of Health and Human Services. When the tragedy occurred before, the department really legally could not go in and investigate. They actually had to be invited in. So what we're asking for is the creation of a 7-member commission. 3 will be recommended by the physician groups, 3 by the nurse midwives, and 1 would be a one appointee directly by the governor. And what we would do is establish this commission, which would come up with rules so that the Department of Health and Human Services would have for licensure for birth centers. Unless there are any other questions, I would ask for your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is passage of House Bill 575 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Shepherd, do you wish to record? Now we're simply waiting on Representative Reeves. I'm going to let you push your button before you push mine. The clerk will lock and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 575 passes a second reading, and without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, aye.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 575 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and House Bill 575 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. Members, upon motion of the member from Pitt, Representative Murphy, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dot Stilley, the grandmother of a deceased child whose efforts led to the introduction of the birth licensure bill. Ms. Stilley, if you'll stand up, and members, would you help me welcome her to the General Assembly? Clerk, it is ordered that Senate Bill 523 be sent to the Senate by special messenger. Members, upon motion from the member from Northampton, Halifax, Representative Michael Ray, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of gallery to the mayor, Emery Dalty, and Councilman Wayne Smith. If you would please stand, we'd be happy to recognize you. Thank you for joining us today. House Bill 597, the clerk will read.
Representatives Adams, Henson, Ray, and Yarborough, House Bill 597, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the statutes governing the Wildlife Resources Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Yes, Madam Chairman. We have an amendment. I'd like to hear the amendment first, if we could, please.
Amendment to 597, the clerk will read.
Representative Pittman moves to amend the bill on page 7, lines 14 through 15 by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman from Comparis is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This is a friendly amendment, so point of clarification here. The wording that's in the present bill could well cause confusion. It did for me when I first looked at it, because if you don't know, the lifetime sportsman license has been around for some time, and in 2006 I wasn't here, but the legislature established the coastal recreational fishing license, and those who held a lifetime sportsman license prior to January 1st of 2006 were exempted. They were grandfathered in and did not have to buy that recreational fishing license. The wording of this bill, it appeared to me, looked as if that was being done away with, that grandfathering. So I just wanted a clarification through this amendment that simply states that the fact that the lifetime sportsman license does not entitle the licensee to engage in fishing in coastal fishing waters. The language added is except if the license was purchased before January 1st, 2006, and referencing the statute which allowed that exception. Just so it's clear, there is a new license. What's it called? The Universal, I think it is, lifetime license, something to that effect. That now is required if you're going to have that, and so it would incorporate that. But anybody buying a license, lifetime sportsman license since January 1st, 2006, still has to buy the recreational fishing license. This is just to say the ones who had it before then still don't have to buy it. So I'd appreciate your support.
For purpose, the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise.
Debate the amendment.
Yeah, the floor to debate the amendment.
I agree. This is a friendly amendment. It does clarify the language in the bill, and I appreciate your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill, the amendment to House Bill 597 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment passes. We are back on the bill as amended. For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, arise?
To debate the bill.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
This is a simple bill. I just stand to answer any questions about the bill. It does change a lot of licenses. I would make this point. These licenses are a permit or a fee related to the public trust of wild game and fish in navigable waters in North Carolina. The North Carolina Wildlife Commission employs about 650 people to watch over 2 million acres of public trust lands. It's a very important agency. We're going to be dealing with chronic wasting disease in the future. We're preparing for that. We're taking steps to try to figure out exactly how we'll deal with that if it comes to North Carolina. Presently, it's in western Tennessee and northern Virginia, and it is a very serious issue. I think it's important that we continue to have a robust wildlife commission. Their budget is a little over $80 million. Their fees generate almost $11 million. I'm sorry. We make an appropriation of about $11 million. Their fees make up the rest of it. So I hope you'll support the bill, and I'll stand for any questions.
Sorry, for what purpose? For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
Debate the bill.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Madam Speaker. Let me just preface this by saying initially I am opposed to hunting and fishing licenses in general simply because it is my God-given right to hunt and fish. When you sell me a license, you have basically taken that right away and you're selling it back to me at a cost. I don't believe it's the government's responsibility to do that. In speaking with wildlife on this bill in several occasions, I would admit that, okay, we're going to have a fishing license because it's pretty much traditional. What is the cost that the state incurs to administer the licensing program? They couldn't answer that question. To this day, I've not gotten that answer. So we don't even know what this costs. We don't know if these fees are appropriate that we're even recovering the cost for administering the licensing fee. I want to make a point here in that these fees are supposed to have been increased by the amount of the cost of living, basically, since our last fee increase. I would believe that if the fees went up by a substantially similar amount. They don't. Some of these fees go up 25%, some 40%, some 400%. That tells me there was no rhyme or reason, no methodology to how these fees were determined. I would say unless and until wildlife can show us, A, what does it cost to administer the program, so we're sure we're covering the cost, which is what the license is designed to do, and B, to show us the justification for these fee increases, that we vote red until that happens. Thank you.
Gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, is recognized to speak a second time on the bill.
Debate the bill a second time.
You have the floor.
With regard to these fees, one of the things that we do is we have to understand that these are public trust. The ability to hunt and fish in North Carolina, if it is not governed, we'll wind up doing things like the buffalo hunters did in the 1880s and some certain bird hunters did at the turn of the century. We have to govern these activities. It's our responsibility. These are public trust resources. The game and the fish in North Carolina belong to all of the people of North Carolina, not to the hunters, not to the fishermen, all of the people of North Carolina. This agency is set up to govern that, and they've governed it very responsibly. As far as the fees that are mentioned, what we did was we looked at our adjacent states. We looked at North Carolina's fees against Virginia, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia. And we're very much in line. Our fees are at or below the cost of fees in other states. Now, getting back to the agency itself and what its responsibilities are, we are faced, right, chronic wasting disease, some of you know about, some of you probably aren't familiar with it. It is a critical, a crisis situation in some of the western states, and it will be enormously expensive if it comes to North Carolina. Now, agriculture will deal with the disease if it gets here, but the Wildlife Commission will be the detection agency. They'll be the first to observe it, and it's very important that we have a healthy agency to do that. So I hope you'll vote green on this, and I'll stand to answer anyone else's questions.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill as amended? Seeing none, question for the House is passage of House Bill 597 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Oh, okay. Speaker will vote aye. The clerk will lock and record the vote. 106 voting in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. House Bill 597 passes its second reading, and without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
House Bill 597 is President's third reading. Further discussion, further debate. Seeing none, the question for the House passes the House Bill 597 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 597 will be engrossed and sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 462, the clerk will read.
Senators Bergen, McInnes, and Wells, Senate Bill 462, a bill to be entitled Modifications to the NC Appraisal Board, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Vote to concur.
I'm sorry?
For Senate Bill 462, to speak on the motion.
You have the floor to speak on the bill.
Thank you. Senate Bill 462 would replace education experience and examination requirements. Also, 462 passed through policy committees in the Senate unanimously, and this legislation has been reviewed and is fully supported by the North Carolina Appraisal Board. The Bankers Association has no known opposition. Make a motion to concur.
Further discussion, further debate. Seeing none, question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 462 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brody, does the gentleman wish to record? Clerk will lock and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. Senate Bill 462 passes its second reading, and without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is passage of Senate Bill 462 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 462 passes its third reading and will be enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 621. The clerk will read.
Senators Tillman, Ballard, and Sawyer, Senate Bill 621, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce testing administration to students in public schools, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose, Gentleman Wilkes, Representative Elmore, arise?
To debate the bill.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. We had two testing reduction bills, one from the House and one from the Senate. Ours in the House was House Bill 377, and it passed 110-2. Senate Bill 621 passed 48-0. So the approach that we took with the in the House Education Committee is we took and smushed the two bills together to create one bill. It is very similar to what you have already voted on in the House. The major difference, we do not deal with the work keys test. Also in the House, we talked about eliminating local assessments. What the Senate proposal was, or the Senate piece is what we took, was more of a phase-out approach, that if you're above the state average, that you have to develop a plan to lower your local testing hours to get it in line. And another Senate provision was dealing with DPI to study the third grade reading EOG to see how it's aligned to the Read to Achieve assessments to make sure that they're all matching and reporting that back March 15th to 2020 to Joint Ed Oversight. And I have a technical amendment that was recommended by DPI, which is a date change.
Sir, Representative Elmore, you wish to be recognized to send forth an amendment?
Yes, please.
The clerk will read.
Representative Elmore moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 15, by deleting the name.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
The amendment was requested by DPI, and it is a date change. It pushes it out 1 year to align it with what they've submitted to the United States Department of Education. I appreciate your support on the amendment.
For what purposes, Representative from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise?
To speak on the bill.
All right, but not on the amendment. Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of the Elmore Amendment to Senate Bill 621 on its second reading. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Zachary, Representative Adams, would you care to vote? Representative Dobson, would you care to vote? Clerk Willock, Representative Zoka is an aye, will be recorded as voting aye. Clerk Willock, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill, the amendment to Senate Bill 621 is passed. We're back on the bill. The gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask a question to Representative Elmore, if I could.
Representative Elmore, do you yield?
Yes.
You may proceed.
Representative Elmore, is this the bill that my school board called me about? They had the question about the senior class project that was being eliminated?
Yes.
Okay. Follow up.
Do you have an additional question? You may follow up.
With that being said and done, is it still leaving it to the local school systems to allow them to do the project if they like, or is that completely done away with?
It is done away with because this used to be a state mandated thing, and we several years ago they found it ineffective and used it, gave the locals the discretion. We had some discussions in the education committee about this issue.
Okay. Follow
Representative
up.
Shepherd, do you have additional questions?
Yeah, follow up.
Representative Elmore, do you
continue? With that being said and done, then, so there's no way now that local school systems can still require that senior class project
with the way this language is, right?
That is correct. And the thought process behind that was that it creates equity issues because the cost of the project. People in children that are in poverty have difficulty many times coming up with the time and money to be able to do something that's outside of school hours.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise.
See if Representative Elmore yield for a question.
Representative Elmore, do you yield?
Yes.
Representative Elmore, you mentioned in your remarks about the legislation that there was something involving a reading, third grade reading program.
Yes.
What exactly is that?
Okay. What they are trying to do in the provision or the section of the bill is they are examining the actual assessments that the kids are taking throughout the year with the Read to Achieve in third grade, and they're making sure that that aligns properly with the EOG so that it is, they match basically. They want to ensure that those assessments are lining up to the EOG or vice versa to make sure that's worked out.
Follow up.
Do you yield for follow up?
Yes.
Does it do anything to increase the as I understand it, only 42% of our entering fourth graders can read at the third grade level, and that's the number one indicator of success after graduating or even graduating from high school and then going on to either technical school or college. Am I understanding that correctly?
I'm not sure on your statistics. I don't know those off the top of my head, but you have a Read to Achieve revision bill that went through Education K-12 today that has some revisions on how that piece of legislation is handled, and it will most likely be on the floor in the next few days.
Oh. Representative Richardson, Representative Elmore, do you yield for additional question? Thank you.
Is this going to help, given the numbers, we know they're low. Is this going to do anything to increase those woeful numbers?
Well, I think with my opinion on this is just trying to figure out if the periodic assessments, which are more diagnostic, are aligned with your end assessment. So to make sure all of it's on the same page. So it's dealing more with the instrument that we're using.
Thank you.
Yes.
Representative Richardson, would you like to debate the bill? You have the floor.
Members, the reason I ask that question is that we are really failing our children in education. And we have got to treat this more as an emergency rather than just a problem. We're about to enter an information age the likes of which we have not seen. And our children are not being prepared to be critical, adaptive thinkers in this age that's coming upon us. And there's no better example of that than the fact that our children, when they leave the third grade, cannot read at the third grade level. It is essential that we fix this problem, and we can't keep putting Band-Aids on it. We need to fix it. And so let's vow that we're going to take this problem and address it in full, hit it full head, and get our children ready for what's coming, this age that's coming upon us. Because if not, we're going to get left behind. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Elmore, do you yield for a question?
Yes.
He yields. You may proceed.
Thank you. Representative Elmore and some of my constituent educators in Durham had a few questions I wasn't able to ascertain. Would this bill make every student take either the ACT or SAT?
Yes, but that's current practice at high school. There is an exemption written in the bill dealing with what's called the extend test, which is for special ed students because of modifications for them.
Thank you. And follow up?
Do you yield?
Yes.
He yields.
Are there any different provisions about making accommodations for students with disabilities in this?
That deals with, this is dealing with the instrument itself. What you're dealing with would be dealing with their IEPs. So that's kind of a different animal to make the testing accommodations. That doesn't really have to be addressed in here.
Okay.
Does the lady wish to propound an additional question? Representative Elmore, do you yield?
Yes.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Elmore. And just looking at it, the bill doesn't say what a minimum SAT, ACT score would be for required for students to move forward. Is there a reason there's no set score?
Well, yes, because the goal of this is to try to use a nationally normed test because that will give us some comparisons. ACT, I believe, is up to 17 states right now to where we can actually compare with Mississippi or whoever versus our internal test, which in essence is like scrimmaging basketball. We're constantly seeing how we're doing, but we're not going and looking to see how we do compared to other teams.
Thank you. Just a comment.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you. I think the intent is great, and I think many of us, most of us all want to reduce the number of standardized testing, but I think the questions, we have a lot of students that are never going to be college bound. They want to be trade to require them to take this SAT, ACT test. I'm worried about any changes that can impact students with disabilities in taking these tests and the accommodations. So I wish more educators would be involved in a study of this rather than passing what I think is a monumental bill becoming effective as soon as it becomes law. Thank you.
What purpose is the gentleman from Orange, Representative Myers, seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam Chair. May I ask Representative Elmore a question as well?
Representative Elmore, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He yields. You may proceed.
Thank you, Representative Elmore. I actually want to ask a follow-up question to what Representative Richardson asked you.
Yes.
If the section of this bill that applies to elementary school testing, I believe, changes the number and frequency of tests that students will be given. Can you explain how that gets changed by the bill?
Sure. That's something we already voted on, and that's the reason why I really didn't explain it too much. But what it's working from is something, a model that DPI has been piloting and working with called check-ins. But what this would do, we're calling them grade through through grade assessments. So instead of having at the end of the year this 4, 5, 6 hour test all at one time, which basically turns into basically a test of endurance for an 8 year old. It creates a series of three tests that are shorter, that are throughout the year. The idea behind that is the teacher can also in better real time evaluate what that score is from the student to make adjustments instead of all of it being based on last year's score. So it makes it a little bit more real-time, less stress on the kids with the big, massive test. It's in littler chunks. So it's been piloted. It's working. And it's, they have been accepted DPI for a, I want to get the name right, Innovative Assessment Demonstration Authority, their application. They've been approved. So this fits in line with what we're trying to do.
Thank you. May I speak to the bill, Madam Speaker?
Representative Orange, Representative Meyer from Orange, you are recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure that Representative Elmore explained that because I think there are a few things in this bill that might come back to us in the future, and I think that's one of the most likely ones, is that you may start to hear from parents in your district that whereas they didn't like it when their kid was being tested once a year, they're now going to be tested three times a year. These tests, as Representative Elmore explained accurately, are better tests. They're more useful to the student and to the parent if they work well. But you may hear from parents of why are we increasing testing instead of decreasing testing. They are shorter, more responsive tests. The other piece in this bill that I think we may have to come back to us, which is related a little bit to what Representative Morey asked about, is that by eliminating having standardized assessments in high school and only going to the national standardized exams, we are also going to lose our ability to track teacher effectiveness in high school because we won't be tracking individual kids in individual classes with specific tests related to that curriculum. And that will take away a little bit of what we use to try and figure out how well schools are working, which people are doing the best, which people need to be let go from schools, et cetera. So I don't think either of those are deadly to the bill. I think we all share the goal of trying to decrease the impact of testing, the negative impact of testing, but we might need to come back at some point and work on those things. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 621 as amended on its second reading. Those in favor will say aye, will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker votes aye. Representative Alexander, do you wish to record? Clerk will lock and record the vote. 104 having voted in the affirmative, 13 in the negative. House Bill 621 passes its second reading, and without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is to pass House Bill 621 as amended on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 621 passes its third reading, will be engrossed and returned to the Senate.
Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that Senate Bill 190, short title, expand special assessments for dam repair, be removed from the Committee on Rules for recommitted to the Committee on Finance with a serial referral to the Committee on Rules added. Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson recognize and forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee Report, Senate Bill 301, Regional School Transportation, Favorite House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Original Bill, and Re-Referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original Bill, Unfavorable Calendar, House Committee Substitute, Re-Referred to Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 438, Excellent Public School Act of 2019, Favorite House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and Re-Referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Calendar, House Committee Substitute, Re-Referred to the Committee on Rules. Representatives Cleveland and Speciale recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Cleveland and Speciale, Homeland Security, Military, and Veteran Affairs Committee report. Senate Bill 409, Study NC Veteran Registry, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills re-referred to rules. Representatives Arp and Zoka recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Arp and Zoka, Energy and Public Utilities Committee report. Senate Bill 320, Regional Water Systems and State Grants, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, House Committee Substitute, re-referred to rules. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize and forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. Senate Bill 68, Relocation of Water Sewer Line Costs, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills re-referred to rules. Representatives Grange and Hall recognize and forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Grange and Hall, Election and Ethics Laws Committee report. House Bill 851, Delay Decertification Certain Voting Machines, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills re-referred to rules.
House Bill 863, Qualifications for Sheriff Expunctions, favorable and re-referred to finance.
Bills re-referred to finance.
Senate Bill 124, Small Town Mixed Beverage Election Request, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills re-referred to rules. Representatives Johnson, Lambeth, Sane, Arp, Brisson, Dobson, Faircloth, McGrady, recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Johnson, Lambert, Sane, Arp, Brisson, Dobson, Faircloth, McGrady, Appropriations Committee report. House Bill 111, 2019 Appropriations Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar committee substitute is actually the chair is going to strike the serial referral to rules calendar and without objection base calendar. So ordered. Representative Lewis, recognized, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee report. Senate Bill 332, Civil Procedure Limitations, Land Surveyors, favorable House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1, unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute Number 2, counter pursuant to Rule 36B, and without objection, day's calendar. So ordered. For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland? Representative Lucas, rise.
Mr. Speaker, could you give us the number of the bill that just had, the last bill just added?
Yes, sir. That was, the last one was Senate Bill 332. It's Civil Procedure Limitations, Land Surveyors. Looks like it was a bill that was heard in rules. And then the one before that was House Bill 111, and that was the stopgap yes, spending bill out of appropriations. Senate Bill 508, Clerk will read.
Senator Bishop, Senate Bill 508, a bill to be entitled an act amending Rule 30 of North Carolina Rules and Civil Procedure relating to the taking of disposition. General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Aye, from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This comes to us as a request from private court reporters. Normally, if you go to court, you'll swear an oath on the Bible that you are who you say you are. And normally, if you have other types of court reporters, they take an oath and they look at your ID. What's happening is when some of these private court reporters were coming in and the attorneys might have their client there or the attorneys might have a specific witness there, and that witness didn't bring their ID. They may have traveled for hours to come and do this deposition, but they don't have the ID. But if the attorney personally knows them, if someone else personally knows them, this allows them to accept that as a substitute for a driver's license. Ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 508 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Light Machine record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 508 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Here a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 508 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 508 having passed third reading is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Mr. Kirk, please count the chair as having voted aye on Senate Bill 462. I'll stand at ease momentarily. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that Senate Bill 559 be removed from today's calendar and just be put in calendar 36B holding.
House will come back to order. Senate Bill 332, the clerk will read.
Senator Daniels, Senate Bill 332, a bill defending Titan Act to clarify statutes, limitations, and response to applicable and actions brought against professional land surveyors. General Senator North Carolina.
Representative Stevens, when the lady gets to her seat, the chair will recognize the lady to debate the bill. Ladies recognized. Senate Bill 332.
Mr. Speaker, I was just looking around because Representative Arp was going to present this bill, but I guess Representative Arp is not in the room, so I will present it. This was a bill requested by the surveyors to try to clarify a case in which we weren't exactly clear what the statute of limitations was on some surveying problems, because sometimes that stuff may not come up for years. So this clarifies that is a cause of action for physical damage under the subdivision of a surveyor giving a problem accrues at the time of the occurrence of the physical damage. And any action that commences within 7 years from the last specific act or omission of the professional land surveyor gives rise to that cause of action. So I'm not a surveyor, but it says we got to have some time to be able to recognize those things. Did I do good enough? Yeah. I will be happy to defer to Representative Arp for any additional questions that may arise.
What purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Lady has floor to debate the bill.
Folks, you may remember the other portion of this bill that came up at the end of last week where I posed some questions to Representative Stevens. She has graciously taken that portion of the bill out, and I support the remainder. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 332. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. The Senate Bill 332 passes second reading. Will without objection. Here at third time.
General Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 332 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 332 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 493, the clerk will read.
Senator Britt, Senate Bill 493, a bill to be entitled DMPV Abuser Treatment, Time of Expiration, General Senator North Carolina next.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this came to me as a sort of an agency bill. Both the Bar Association and the Domestic Violence Coalition came about these two issues. One of them is, when does an order expire? And it wasn't clear, so, you know, were you violating it at midday? Was that a violation on the very day it was supposed to terminate? So we simply put in there, termination is at 11:59 p.m. So it runs till the last minute of the day. The second part is, as part of a domestic violence order, the court can order one of the parties to go to a batterer's program. Why are you being abusive? Why are you violent? The problem was the judges said we could order it there, but we had no follow-up mechanism. So this sets out a follow-up mechanism. The court can order them back in and can hold them in contempt for not participating in the program. I ask for your support on the bill.
Representative Morey, the chair is in possession of the member's amendment. The chair respectfully believes the amendment goes beyond the scope of the title of the bill and respectfully rules the amendment out of order and will be returned to the member. Further discussion, further debate. Does the member wish to debate the bill? He has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I did have an amendment. I agree that to the Speaker's ruling, I will not challenge it. I think the amendment is very germane to this bill. It adds one more thing for people to enforce domestic violence orders issued by a judge. When a judge orders a defendant to surrender a firearm and they don't, it assists law enforcement to seize the gun. I think it would have been exactly what this bill does, add procedural efficiencies when a defendant is ordered to do certain things, having been found guilty of domestic violence protecting. It's a great bill. I support it. I think it could have been a lot better with this amendment, but I do encourage you to support the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 493 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Conrad, lady like to vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none the negative. Senate Bill 493 passed a second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
Senate Bill North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 493 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 493 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate. House Bill 111, clerk will read.
Representative Lambert, House Bill 111, a bill to be entitled Supplemental Appropriations Act, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambert, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This, as it was referred to earlier as a stopgap spending bill, was absolutely necessary without a budget for us to be able to continue to meet some of the obligations that were obligations, either a statutory obligation or obligation in the current year that needs to be continued in this year. It is designed to be only the minimum that has to be done to keep state government going. I only want to touch on a few items on here. It's designed to obtain federal funds or meet a federal regulation that we have to meet. There are items in here that you would expect, like the public school ADM. As public schools grow, it enables them to pay for that increase in student enrollment. North Carolina Promise, as you know, we've made that commitment, and this continues that commitment into this biennium. There are funds that need to be appropriated for NCFAST that are federal funds that would come down to fund these obligations, as well as the use of Medicaid transformation funds that enables us to keep our Medicaid transformation plans moving forward. There are some clarifications on the disaster recovery funds from 2018, mostly technical corrections that need to be made. There are no new funding for disaster relief. I would also note that since we have an obligation that we made in this previous year for raise the age, it does allow those minimum obligations to continue forward. Also, the Department of Revenue Operations and Maintenance of Tax Systems transfers non-recurring funds from the Collections Assistance Fee Special Fund to the Department of Revenue to enable them to support their portfolio warehouse and modernize the e-file and tax system operations. It enables the Western Steam Plant project to continue. They've already started that. We funded it this previous year, half, and the balance of it will be done. And then as the Department of Transportation issued debt that we previously approved in the prior budget years, it enables that debt to be paid as well as the interest on that debt. These are minimum and minimal obligations that we need to take care of, given that we do not have a current budget. And I recommend this for your approval to keep state government moving forward.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Ask the gentleman a question, Mr. Speaker.
Does the gentleman from Forsyth yield to the gentleman from Gaston?
Glad to.
I apologize for the question. I was going through it. I listened intently this morning in appropriations, but when I went back through them, I kind of went through and saw some stuff. And I'm deeply, deeply concerned. I don't believe this bill has any of the $90 million that we appropriated for school safety for our children across the state that covers not only the SROs, but also the mental health professionals we hired to aid and assist our children. Is that a true fact?
That is correct. This would not continue the school safety grants until we get, or if we get the proposed budget approved. Does not include any of those funding.
That's a true shame. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise?
See if Representative Sane would yield for a question, please.
As the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sane, rise?
I yield.
Yields.
Thank you, Representative. As chairman of IT, and I know that you had done that in the past, one of the things I've been working on this whole session was security for the state, meeting with the governor, staffers over in IT, and is it my understanding now that we're really putting North Carolina at jeopardy and its safety of its citizens at jeopardy by not being able to fund those agencies?
I thank the gentleman for his question. I would just somewhat echo what Representative Lambeth said. Anytime we're not funding some of the needs of the state, which we're not, by not passing this budget, I would say that that would put us at risk. So I would agree with your sentiments and wish that we could do something a little differently, but appreciate the comment.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to ask Representative Lambeth a question.
The gentleman from from Forsyth, yield to the lady from Mecklenburg.
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Lambeth. Is it not so that all of the school funding for SROs, mental health workers, and support staff for non-recurring funds are also in a grant program, so they are not eligible or applicable to this?
Any of the non-recurring funds, and this is something I think I've had a number of questions about, particularly the non-recurring funds. Non-recurring funds are not carried over. Non-recurring funds are not included in this stopgap measure. So any of those funds that are in the proposed budget will not be allocated or allotted, and that would include the non-recurring funds in the school safety grants as well.
Thank you, Representative Lambert.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
Yes, a question of Representative Sane.
Does the gentleman from Lincoln yield to the gentleman from Beaufort?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative. In reviewing the stopgap bill, I don't see anything in there that's going to help the people in eastern North Carolina on two issues. One is the flood relief problems that we have over there that were funded through the budget. Is none of that going to be? We're in hurricane season. And if we don't start taking care of this, we're going to be exactly where we were with the previous storms. I don't see any of that in there. Is that correct?
Representative Kidwell, just like some of the other questions that Chairman Lambeth and I have received, I agree that that is the case, that is what essentially is happening since we're at this impasse. The bill that you have before you simply funds those measures, which we believe after talking with staff and consulting, that those are things that we could probably all agree upon in terms of our federal dollars that we pull down and so forth, but without a budget agreement, that's where we're at today, and unfortunately, those folks preparing for the bad weather won't be quite as prepared.
Follow-up, Mr. Speaker?
Gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
I'm also concerned, not technically in my district, it would be in another district, but in Pitt County, we were looking at the potential for a new building, Brody School of Medicine. I also don't see that. At this point, is that correct? We're not going to see that coming forth?
That is correct, and I said this morning in the Appropriations Committee meeting that it is kind of a what you see is what you get. What's in the bill is what's in the bill. What's not, what you don't see, it's not there. And until there's a resolution to the budget impasse, that will not happen. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Johnston, Representative White, rise?
To ask Representative Sane a question.
Gentleman from Lincoln, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Sane, I did ask this question this morning in appropriations, but I know that half of our body is in finance and was not there, and from both sides of the aisle. I know that the local community colleges across North Carolina have really been able to address some much-needed workforce in many areas that would be considered blue-collar areas. And is it my understanding that with this impasse, we will not – those that pilot money that we've been giving them for the last 2 years will stop on June 30th. Will stop on June 30th.
Thank you for the question, and that is correct. I would also point out in regards to community colleges, as many of you know, they've been working on an ERP system that would consolidate and bring forth standards that would be across the board. As you know, we've got many computer systems at the various different community colleges. That statewide ERP system for community colleges would be underfunded by not providing those dollars in the current budget. So thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
To ask Representative Jackson a question.
Sorry, which member?
Representative Jackson.
Does the gentleman from Waite yield to the gentleman from Forsyth?
Yes, sir, Mr.
He yields.
Is it also true that this bill does not include fully closing the coverage gap?
I believe that is correct, Representative Montgomery.
What purpose does the gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, rise?
Ask Representative Sain a question.
Gentleman from Lincoln, yield.
I do yield.
Representative Sain, as you know, you and I have discussed this. The money that was put in, I understand recurring versus non-recurring, but there was a lot of money put in there for school construction, renovation, et cetera, for each school system, and that would be non-recurring money in the budget. I know that's not addressed in this, and as a rural legislator, I look around a lot of rural legislators, that formula was particularly favorable to us, if you would. My district, there's four school systems, about $43 million now. That's a lot of money in my neck of the woods. So what happens to that money? Is that money still there or not allocated? Would you address that, please?
Representative Corbin, I appreciate that question, and I got the same question from my school superintendent and members of my school.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
Inquiry, the chair.
Jim is recognized for an inquiry to the
Mr.
chair.
Mr. Speaker, I'm having trouble hearing the exchange between the members for a lot of noise in the chamber.
The gentleman's point's well taken. The chair would ask the body to come to order. There was a good bit of conversation. The House will come to order. The member has the floor to continue responding to the question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Corbin, for Lincoln County, that would mean $13 million in school construction costs, which we very badly need, and to say the least, my folks are pretty disappointed that we're where we're at today.
Follow up.
Gentleman yield. Representative Sainz, gentleman yield.
I yield.
So if we get to the point where we actually do pass the budget, that money would still be there?
That is correct. If something were to happen and the veto override were to happen, then that those dollars would be there. The dollars do remain in our capital fund until such time. So the good news is that those dollars are there. But they can't be released until we do reach an agreement.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, there's been a lot of good questions last, a lot of good answers to those questions. But what I would simply say is we are where we are. We're on this process. This is a bare minimums bill. And what's not in it is not in it. It's very clear. It's very clear to people in this body. It's very clear to people at home. It's very clear to the citizens of the state of what is missing out of this budget because of the situation that we're in. And I ask that we go ahead and vote this minimum required budget down, and let's move on with today's calendar.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman would like to finish his debate.
Let's shut the debate down, pass this budget, and move forward with today's.
Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
I'm at a loss. I'm not aware of a bill that's before us right now.
I'm sorry?
What bill is before the House right now?
House Bill 111. It is the stopgap bill, sir.
Okay. I understand that, but I was understanding the inquiry of the chair, then, sir.
I'm sorry?
I got the impression that we were raising inquisitions relative to the budget bill rather than the stopgap bill. They're two separate bills, is my understanding.
The members are debating. The members are apparently debating the stopgap bill and are pointing out what this bill would do or the what this bill would not fund compared to what the full capital appropriations bill would have funded otherwise. If the gentleman would like to ask a question of one of the other members, the gentleman is entitled to. The chair has not entered the debate.
I think it's ceased now, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise.
To see if Representative Bell would yield for a question.
Gentleman from Wayne, yield to the gentleman from Cumberland.
Yes, sir.
Representative Bell, in your statement, you mentioned something about going forward with House Bill 1111. Was that your intent to call for the question, or you just made a statement at the end?
To answer the gentleman's question, I was hoping not to call the question. I would hope that my remarks would suffice and that we could move on with today's agenda and pass this bill.
Thank you so much, sir.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, rise?
Question for Representative Jackson.
Gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Jackson, do you know how far it is from here to the governor's mansion?
I believe it's a couple of blocks, Representative Russell.
You know,
a gentleman wish to ask a second question.
I generally drive.
Is the gentleman yield? Yes.
Yes. Do you know of any obstruction, flood, any road closures that keeps two people from meeting and talking and having a good discussion?
No, sir.
Representative Russell, the gentleman is out of order.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
To ask Representative Lambert a question, please.
Does the gentleman from Forsyth yield?
I do.
He yields.
Just to make certain, I asked this question earlier today. If we pass this bill and then later there is a resolution of the budget impasse, this bill would be absorbed seamlessly into the budget and wouldn't require any additional legislation?
That's correct. What you have before you is actually extracted from the proposed budget bill in terms of minimum stopgap funding. So you're correct. We would simply retroactively apply a budget back to July 1, and these items would just be absorbed within that transparency.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman asks for debate the bill.
So I'd hope we'd come in here today and talk about this bill and it would pass through just like it did in appropriations, but it appears that we're playing to the cameras in here today and trying to do some messaging, so I just want to make it clear. I like to think of myself as a very reasonable person. I bet most of you think of yourselves the same way. This right here is what you've done since February. I haven't turned down one meeting. I haven't turned down one phone call. Nobody's asked. Nobody's offered. What I've heard is an unwillingness to negotiate. I believe we've had two meetings. One with the chairs and the governor. I was there. One with the leaders of the chambers and the governor. I was there. What's being portrayed about one party not being willing to negotiate is incorrect. So let's talk about what's not in here. Originally, the governor proposed a $3.9 billion bond. This chamber came back with a conference report. It had a 4% skiff with no bond. On Monday, the governor put out a proposal, or maybe I guess it was Tuesday morning, the governor put out a proposal reducing the skiff to 1% and reducing his demand from a bond for $3.9 billion to $3.5 billion. $400 million decrease in his demand. Is that nothing? Name me one compromise you've offered. The governor's proposal, original budget, had a teacher raise of 9.1%. Conference report came back with an average of 3.8% over the biennium with a bonus for veteran teachers. Tuesday morning's proposal, the governor moved from 9.1% to 8.5%, a 0.6% decrease in average teacher pay. That's compromise. Anybody want to ask me a question and explain to me the one compromise anybody on the other side of the aisle has made? You asked for a $500 million tax cut, partially an individual tax cut by raising the standard deduction and partially a franchise tax cut that totals $362 million a year in the second out year. The governor asked for no tax cut in his original proposal, and yet on Tuesday he moved and agreed. He agreed to the individual tax cut. Is that not a compromise? A couple $100 million? Is that not an offer, a good faith offer? He moved to your position. In fact, 98% of that budget that's sitting right there, the governor agreed to. Dan Blue in the Senate, Darren Jackson in the House, agreed to. 98% of your budget we agreed to on Tuesday morning. Is that not a compromise? Do you know how much people in my caucus dislike private school vouchers? Have we not fought you every step of the way on private school vouchers to end them? You wanted a $20 million a year increase. We sent you over a proposal this on Tuesday that allows you to keep your private school vouchers and just not increase it. Is that not a compromise? Can you give me one compromise you've made that equals giving up something that you feel that strongly about? The governor proposed $240 million to build a new campus for DHHS in Raleigh at a site that's already been located and planned. You proposed moving it to Granville County. The governor responded and said, okay, if you won't, we'll study it. Is that not a compromise? Does anybody think that we should move a division of state government, 2,000 jobs, $240 million? I've heard Guilford County. I've heard Forsyth County. I've heard Cumberland County. I've heard Harnett County. I've heard Wayne County. I've heard Granville County. Does anybody think it's not a good idea to at least study it before we do it? Is that not a compromise? I love sausage biscuits. But bringing sausage biscuits to a meeting ain't enough to get it done, folks. You got to be willing to talk. Once again, I will say I am a reasonable person. Anybody who's worked on hard bills with me like House Bill 2 or other issues throughout the years knows that I am willing to listen. That's important when you're negotiating, is to listen. But there's no talking going back and forth. Once again, I'll tell you, we're willing to sit down and meet. We were willing to sit down and meet on Tuesday morning, and what was the response? If we don't get our budget with everything that we want, then we're going home or going to Germany in some people's cases. My phone is available. I'm happy to meet with you and start going back over the proposal. That's what we were asked to do. We've given you a good faith proposal. If you want to ask all these questions about what's not in the budget, I can do the same thing. It doesn't make the state safer. It doesn't get anything done. Maybe it helps one side versus another side in public perception and the cameras behind me. You notice I'm not looking at them and playing to them. But it doesn't get anything done. It doesn't get a raise. It doesn't get a retiree, that COLA they need, which ours is double, which yours was, by the way. Seems like something we should talk about. Thank you, Mr.
What purpose? The gentleman from Union, Representative Arprise.
To speak on the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the bill.
I wanted to also set the record straight. The House started the budget this year. We tried to work with the governor, reached out to several of the agencies, and the budget was sequestered. We tried to reach and get information to work concurrently, knowing that we're going to work together. Couldn't get information. Very difficult. Very difficult. As a result, we started our budget proceedings later. I was told that that's the governor's prerogative. That's his part of this whole deal. And I respected that. We passed a House budget, sent it over, and then the Senate did their thing. Then we went to conference and we worked together to pass a conference report. That's the legislators' proposal. We've been trying to work together. But this political grandstanding of the budget started way back before the governor submitted his proposal. Now, regarding the SCIF, I know something about that. The governor's proposal talks about a $3.9 billion worth of debt. This budget funds $3.4 billion of the same priorities with no debt. We're only off $500 million, and yet the SCIF has been called, the state capital infrastructure has been called a name-calling. The SCIF scam, you know, all of this stuff. Like we're school-age children, name-calling. In terms of capital, we put forth in every one of the budget proposals. The governor proposed $2 billion for K-12 construction. We proposed $1.5 billion. We settled on that in the budget for a total spending of $4.4 billion going to school construction. Ladies and gentlemen, that's significant. $500 million go out on day one for the next 3 years for school construction. Why can't we all gather around that? The more we delay, the more we grandstand and politicize the budget, the more foolish we look for the people who knows that the budget that was passed was a bipartisan, worked together, and a good budget. It was a good budget. And so I do want to set the record straight that there's a lot of points that I think we can agree on. But I can tell you, no one from the governor's office has contacted me about the SCIF. I have to learn it through the newspapers.
What purpose the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sainrise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And while I appreciate the trip down memory lane that may have been misrepresented, I'll remind members of this body, particularly members of appropriations, as they sat through many, many meetings, heard from department heads, from the governor's administration, coming to us with their many, many needs, talking with us about what was important, what they could live with, what they couldn't live with, what they needed, what they kind of wanted, but they didn't necessarily have to have, through many, many, many months and many, many meetings, not just with House members, not just with Senate members, collectively, when we were in the conference, but you all have spent much time listening to the governor's priorities and trying to find ways to work with his administration. And you saw that in the budget bill. And I'll remind this body that it was a bipartisan vote on the budget bill. Now, like anything else in politics, did you get everything you wanted? No. Did I get everything I wanted? No. But it is a very good budget bill. And politics are being played, and that's what we can expect. And I did make the trip up the hill there, when once invited, and I got my one invite, and I went to breakfast, and the governor was very cordial. And we had a conversation, and he started the conversation with what he didn't like, to which I replied, Governor, we already knew that. But again, it was a pleasant conversation. But it wasn't the first conversation with the administration. Again, many of his department heads, all of his department heads, visited with our area chairs and talked about priorities in those various parts of state government. So let's not pretend like we've never talked, like we don't talk. We do talk, and you all talk, and we're all friends most days except when there's cameras in the room or there's a divisive issue. But we have come together on many, many parts of this budget, and you've all had a part of that process. And if you didn't, that's probably on you, because at any given time, my office door has been open, and many of the folks on the other side of the room have come to see me to talk about their priorities. Now, whether we agree or not remains to be seen, and that may not always happen. That's okay. We're adults. We can disagree. But let's not pretend like that didn't happen at all, like there was no conversation, like you and I didn't share what your priorities might be or what your wish list might have been. We did talk about those things. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
Ask Representative Jackson a question.
Gentleman from Wake yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Yes, sir.
Representative Jackson, as Chairman Sain just mentioned, there were literally hundreds of meetings each week, really go back to February. Did you attend any of those meetings and have any input into either area budgets or listen to any of those presentations that were made?
Representative Lambeth, I attend the committees that I am on, which is a full appropriations. I am not assigned a subcommittee this year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill. What purpose, gentlemen from Chatham? Representative Reeves, rise.
Debate the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized.
I would just say quickly, because I appreciate everybody's talked about the different things we could have had in the budget and what we could be doing right now and all that stuff. So I wanted to try and talk in some of our Chatham County English. We know who the players are. We know who needs to sit down and talk. We know that we can't go into a conversation and say, let's negotiate. Here's one thing that's really important to me. Can we talk about how to get there and get a no and think that's going to be a negotiation? We're going to have to talk. And this isn't about who did what wrong, when, and all that kind of stuff. Today we get to start again. We can go ahead and vote on the budget right now, on the override. That will decide whether or not we got to talk anymore. If this override is successful, you don't have to talk to us anymore. If the override is not successful, then we can sit down and talk. And you know what we can do starting tomorrow, on Thursday? We can start clean. Because we all know that there are things in the budget probably that a lot of people aren't happy with. And there are things that you are happy with. But what I would ask going forward is if we're going to spend the next 6-7 months deciding on who blinked first, who did what wrong first, who talked about my shoes the first time, you're right, we're never going to get anywhere. So let's just do this. Everybody's wrong. Everybody should have done it differently. Let's start tomorrow and get this done, and then we can get out of here at a decent time, maybe even have some summer left. But please don't tell me that we're going to spend the next 6 months talking about we're not talking to each other now because we didn't talk to each other the right way a couple of months ago. And I'm like Darren, and no, I haven't been included in any conversations. Nobody's brought anything to me. DHHS wasn't offered to Chatham County. So get that out of the way. So at this point, I'll be happy to talk. Darren will be happy to talk. But in fairness, I do want to say one thing since we're talking about who's getting talked to. The chairs of your budget process have stood up and talked. So I think that out of respect, if we want to get something done with your side, then we should come talk to your chairs. I ask for the same courtesy.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Lincoln? Representative Sane Rice.
See if the gentleman will yield for a question.
Gentleman, yield.
Happy to.
He yields.
Representative Reeves.
Yes.
Have you and I ever been unable to talk?
Never.
Thank you, my friend.
And that's my whole point. So if we're going to make any kind of offers or any deals on the budget, let's come talk to me and Darren and a couple of others in our leadership. That's all we're asking, including the governor. I like the governor. I'd like for you to talk to him sometime. Thank you.
What purpose the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
Please recognize.
Thank you. You know, I'm passionate about a few things, and I believe a couple of years ago I went to the speaker and I said, let's prepare to start interacting with each other on a different level. Let's stop cornering ourselves over here and over there. Let's meet in the middle. But it's continued. But we're in a different time and we're in a different space and we're looking for something different. And we're not going to be satisfied with just certain people being talked to and other people being ignored. We're not going to be satisfied. And it's not about the governor. Let me be clear, it's not about the governor. It's about the people of North Carolina. That's what it's about. And we need to talk to each other more. And it just doesn't always need to be business and just pretentious. We need to be real with each other. And I think that I'm there and I'm ready. And I believe most of us over here on this side are ready to deal in the reality of what's going to happen in North Carolina because it's changing. It's not going to be what it was. And we're going to have to learn to interact with each other, be honest, be transparent, and be authentic. Let's stop playing games. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 111 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Clerk Black Machine record the vote. 117, having voted in the affirmative, 1 the negative. House Bill 111 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read third time.
General Assembly of the North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 111 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 111, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Message from the special message from the Senate, Corporal Reed.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate failed to concur with Senate Bill 553, House Committee Substitute, Number 2, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide further regulatory relief to the citizens of North Carolina as requested conferees. President Pro Tem appoints Senator Sanderson's chair, Senators Wells, Heiss, and Brown, on the part of the Senate to confer with the like committee appointed by the honorable body at the end of differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sir Holland.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message received on July 9, 2019, the House of Representatives failed to concur with House Bill 211, Senate Committee Substitute, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the motor vehicle laws of the state. The President Pro Tem appoints Senator Davis, Chair, Senators McInnes and Raven, on the part of the Senate conferred like the like committee appointed by the honorable body that the end of the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Hall.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message received on July 8, 2019, that the House of Representatives failed to concur with House Bill 217, Senate Committee Substitute, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make miscellaneous and technical changes to the statutes related to the Department of Information Technology, amend various statutes relating to the State Agency of Cybersecurity, and amend various statutes related to the Energy Telephone Service and the 911 Board. The President Pro Tem appoints Senator Heiss, Chair, Senators Perry and Newton, on the part of the Senate to confer with the like committee appointed by your honorable body that the end of differences arise may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Hall.
Noted.
House Bill 628, Senate Committee Substitute, 3rd Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to eliminate the outdated requirement for the Savings Banks and Savings and Loan Association to publish abstracts of statements of financial conditions to allow commercial banks, savings and loans associations, and savings banks to offer savings promotion raffles and to add the North Carolina Banking Commission to a member who is or is employed with a state person that is licensed under the North Carolina Secure and Fair Enforcement Mortgage Licenses Act for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Bill is placed on the calendar for July 11th.
House Bill 675, Senate Committee Substitute, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes and clarifications to the statutes governing the creation of enforcement building code for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Bill is placed on the calendar for July 11th.
Senate Bill 498, Committee Substitute, 2nd Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to facilitate rapid response to the state to declare disaster exempt certain businesses and employees from registration and tax laws during the disaster response period.
Bill is referred to finance. If favorable, rules. Representative Lewis, recognized to send forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Lewis, Rules Calvin operates the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 290, Distilled Regulatory Reform Bill, favor of House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1, unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute Number 2, counter pursuant Rule 36B. Without objection, today's calendar. This is the Distilled Regulation Bill. This came out of Rules Day. Any objection to that bill? Hearing none, so ordered.
Senate Bill 392, various charter school changes, favor House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1, unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute Number 2, counter pursuant to Rule 36B, and without objection, today's calendar. There was objection. Objection. Going to do it. Be counter for tomorrow. Representatives Grange and Hall, recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk Reed.
Representatives Grange and Hall, Elections and Ethics Law Committee report. House Bill 481, various initiatives of Beaufort County. Favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Committee Committee substitute number one, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number two is referred to rules. Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson recognize to send forth committee report. Carver Reed.
Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee Report. Senate Bill 5, Building North Carolina's Future. Favor House Committee Substitute. Unfavorable revision to bill and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitutes, refer to rules.
Senate Bill 476, reaffirm local control discipline policies. Favor House Committee Substitute. Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitutes placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute is referred to rules. Senate Bill 290, Corporal Reed.
Senators Gunn, Blue, and Harrington. Senate Bill 290, a bill to be entitled act to make various revisions to the alcohol beverage control laws of the state. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Debate the bill. North Carolina is fortunate to have such a vibrant economy that has spurred wineries, breweries, and distilleries that employ our citizens while spurring economic development across the state. Our retailers and restaurants simply serve our citizens across the state and work to be efficient and competitive to provide the best customer service. This bill seeks to make practical updates to North Carolina outdated alcohol laws to reflect the changes both technologically and economically within the industry. While each provision addresses a different portion of ABC law, the collective group of stakeholders is supportive of the bill in its entirety as it makes important steps to modernize our ABC system in North Carolina. And I commend the bill.
For what purpose, gentleman from Henderson? Representative McGrady, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
This bill is actually, if you're reading it, you'll think you've just finished reading it recently, because what happened here was that the Senate distillery bill, which had gone through two committees, in rules, the bill that you voted on yesterday was combined with this bill. So we got a vote of over 90 votes on what was House Bill 536, and that bill was then combined with this bill. The portion of this bill that is House Bill 536 is identical to what was passed yesterday with three changes. There was a minor change to the common area provision. And that provision was only changed after we talked to ABC and made sure that the tweak that was being made was consistent with what they were seeking. There was a change in the tasting provision. There was actually a U.S. Supreme Court decision last week related to alcohol beverages, and we wanted to make sure we were absolutely clear in this piece of the bill. And then there was a change in the delivery provision that upped the fines for delivery to residence halls on college campuses. So otherwise, those provisions in 536, which we voted on just yesterday, are the exact same provisions that are in this bill.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 290 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. If all members wish to record, Elmore, Rogers, Murphy, Shepherd, Brisson, Johnson. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 91 having voted in the affirmative and 21 in the negative. Senate Bill 290 passes second reading. Will without objection. Hear with. Objection have been heard. Bill remains on the calendar. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Black, rise?
To change my vote on, I think it was Bill 111 to a yes, please.
Lady will be recorded. I think the lady voted aye on House Bill 111. I think the only no vote on 111 was Representative Logan. Representative what? My apologies, the lady was a no. So, the lady will be recorded as having voted aye on 111. For what purpose the gentleman from Burgos and Blackwell rise?
Mr. Speaker, I think I was not recorded on Senate Bill 290, and I was in the chamber, would like to be recorded as a yes.
John Beer, of course, having voted aye on Senate Bill 290. For what purpose the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I have a motion pertaining to Rule 24C.
Gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that 24C be suspended in order to allow Representative John to be recorded as having voted no on the second reading of HB 924, Teacher Contract Changes. The vote was held on June 27th.
Without objection, so ordered. For what purpose, General White, Representative John Ross?
Assembly would like to thank Representative Lewis for his professionalism and courtesy in dealing with this matter. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Members, the chair is about to receive a committee report, and it's the intention of the chair to ask to add this to today's calendar. Representative Lewis, chair of the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, is recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House committee report, Senate Bill 574, modified physical therapy definition, favorable House committee substitute, unfavorable original bill.
The original bill is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee substitute is calendared pursuant to Rule 36B, and without objection, today's calendar. Seeing none, so ordered. What purpose does Lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, arise?
Can I still object or no to having that put on the calendar? what you just, your, the committee report.
The lady.
Was I late? It's fine.
In the spirit of bipartisanship, if the lady wishes to do it tomorrow instead of today, that'll be okay with the chair. Is that the lady's intent?
Thank you very much, sir.
Bill will be calendared for tomorrow. Notice is an announcement. What purpose does the member from Wake, Representative Ball, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If
the House will come to order, the lady from Wake, for what purpose does the lady from Wake arise?
A point of personal privilege.
The lady may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you. We've all had members join our chamber that we've gotten especially attached to quickly. I bet you all have. I know I have. One of them is our newest member, Representative Brewer from Richmond County. And I asked him, since today is his birthday, where else he might like to be. And he said, because I like to be somewhere special on my birthday, but he said he thought he was where he needed to be. So I want you to join me in wishing our member, Representative Brewer, a happy birthday.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, arise?
Well, I would like to add my birthday wishes to my seatmate.
The lady may speak up to 3 minutes to a
Thank
point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, we've all gotten to know him a little bit, but I want you to also know a little bit about his background. He went to UNC, which clears the board for me, and then he actually worked in a campaign for Senator Robert Morgan. And the campaign bug got him, and so he actually, today is actually the second time you have wished him a happy birthday in this chamber, because after he was in the campaign for Senator Morgan, he actually became part of our Sergeant of Arms staff and was greeted with a happy birthday by the chamber too. So, and then after he became, the bug really got him, and he went to law school, and then was assistant district attorney and district attorney, and then ended up as chief district court judge before he came here. So he has another career ahead of him. He's also a baseball coach, softball coach, and has many lives as all of us do. So happy birthday, Representative Brewer.
What purpose does the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, arise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor, may speak up to 3 minutes.
In the spirit of bipartisanship, I just wanted to let Representative Ball know that I'm the newest one.
Further notices or announcements? What purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, arise?
For a motion, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, sir?
I move, Mr. Speaker.
Let's hold off on that just a minute, Representative. What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, arise?
Before the gentleman speak, could he, as part of his speech, going to tell us what time we're going to convene tomorrow?
Yes, it is the... It is anticipated that Representative Torbett's about to move that the House adjourn until 10:30 a.m. tomorrow.
10:30. I follow.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I know we continue to add bills to the calendar, but normally on Thursday, you know, we sort of have a short day. So it's all right to eject on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But, you know, we can have a short calendar on Thursday. It would be nice.
Noted. What purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, arise?
For announcement.
The gentleman has the floor and may make his announcement.
House Health will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in room 643.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, arise?
For announcement.
Gentleman has the floor. May he make his announcement.
To remind members of the Finance Committee that we'll meet tomorrow in room 544 at 8:30 a.m.
Further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, July 11th. That's July 11th at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Torbett moves, seconded by Representative Brewer, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, July 11th at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those favoring the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned. Representative Lewis, Chair of the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, is recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, Committee Report, Senate Bill 154, allow sports, horse racing, wagering, tribal land, favorable.
The bill is placed upon the calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for tomorrow.
Senate Bill 302, update ACH Service Care Plan, Board of Nursing, favorable.
The bill is placed upon the calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for tomorrow.
Senate Bill 385, clarify auto dealers' regulatory requisitions, favorable.
The bill is placed upon the calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for tomorrow. Special message from the Senate, the clerk will read.
House Bill 108, Committee Substitute Number 3, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled to act to approve data collection and the cost recovery practices for health and services and safekeepers as recommended by the Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Committee for concurrence in Senate Committee Substitute Number 1.
The bill is placed upon the calendar for July 11, 2019. The pages are dismissed from their stations. Anything else?
Say read. Oh, let me get out of the way.
Representative Davis and Stevens are recognized to send forth a Judiciary Committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 736, elective share joint accounts, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, refer to rules, calendar operations of the House and Finance.
Original bill be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 736, the serial referral to rules, is stricken. The committee sub for that bill is re-referred to the Committee on Finance, and a serial referral to the Committee on Rules is added.
Senate Bill 413, raise the age modifications, favor House Committee substitute, unfavor original bill, and re-refer to rules, calendar, operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 413, re-refer to the Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 217, correct prosecutorial district numbers, favor House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-refer to rules, calendar, operations of the House.
Senate Committee substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 217, re-refer to the Committee on Rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 562, the Second Chance Act, favor House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-refer to rules, calendar, operations of the House.
Senate Committee substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 562 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 572, S Corps Proceed Representation in Court, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee substitute, unfavorable calendar, House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 572, referred to Rules.
Senate Bill 584, Criminal Law Reform, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee substitute, unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee substitute, Senate Bill 584, re-referred to the Rules Committee. Lewis is Representative Elmore, Horn, and Johnson are recognized to send forth an Education K-12 committee report. Senate Bill 522, various changes to charter school laws, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-referred. The Senate Committee substitute will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 522 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. House Bill 469, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to revise the laws pertaining to the equitable distribution, amend the laws pertaining to parenting coordinators, and to make various changes under the laws pertaining to adoptions for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute Number 2. House Bill 469 will be counted pursuant to Rule 36B for the 11th.